2 Corinthians chapter 4 while you're standing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
I thought it might be in my name, a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas, but I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I'd been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I'm letting go of all my ways I think are best for me. I'm laying down all my ideas of what I think my life should be. I'm leaving everything I am right at Jesus' feet, for it's here I find everything I need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I'd been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I'd been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found the truth that I'd been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord.
In your text this morning, you have 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 17, God says, our light affliction, comma, which is but for a moment. And I want to focus on that this morning, and I want you to think about it with me. The words that God uses to describe our hardships and heartaches as we travel on our pilgrimage here on this earth are specific. As you read God's Word, you'll hear words like suffering, suffering of this present time, temptations, trials, trial of your faith, our infirmities, tribulation, distress, peril. And one of the words used is affliction. And you think you know what the word means until you look it up. And the definition of the word means cast down, depressed, oppressed in mind, body, or estate. And then this is the part that tied me into it. Grievously affected with continued, prolonged disease of body or mind. And it is tied to the word suffering. But what makes affliction different is it is continued. You get up day after day and it's the same suffering. It never leaves. It just continues. When you use that definition, continued, prolonged, day after day suffering of affliction, and then you look at it and how God uses it, it seems to make more sense. Psalm 102, for instance, look at the title of it. Underneath the introduction there, underneath the title of Psalm 102, it says, "A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord." So it's not just for somebody that's in a trial. It's a prayer of someone who is dealing with suffering that every morning they get up and it's the same battle. It's the same hardship. It's the same pain. I'll let you read Psalm 102 on your own. Go to Psalm 119 now and let's look at the word afflicted. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You're in Psalm 119, now I need you just to listen to me. Psalm 25 says this, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart enlarge me. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." Psalm 88 verse 9 says, "Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee." You're in Psalm 119. Look at verse number 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction." What? What is your comfort when it is day after day after day? Look at the last part of verse 50. "For thy word hath quickened me," or made me alive. There's comfort in the word of God. Look at verse number 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Look at verse number 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." He's not saying it's good for me that I went through a trial. It is good for me that I hurt. He said it was good for me that, God, you allowed affliction to come into my life, which is day after day. It could be cancer that is never cured. It could be a wayward son or a wayward daughter that breaks your heart every day. That's affliction. It could be a hurt. He said, it was good for me that you allowed this affliction to come into my life. Look at verse number 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." Look at verse number 92. "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Comfort is in God's word. How does somebody make it? I don't know how the world makes it without Christ, but how do you make it through the daily sufferings and burdens through life? Here God says, "Lord, if it hadn't been for your word, it would have overwhelmed me and I couldn't have taken it." I know people that wake up every day with pain in their body. Some wake up with it's the same headache every morning. I know some people that wake up with the same joint pain every morning. I know some people, it's not physical pain, it's a spiritual burden, and they wake up every day and it's the same hurt. How do you hear God, I think, teaches us a lot in this. Let me read you just a little bit more, and then we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Psalm 140 says, "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor." And then the book of James in the New Testament says, I love this, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." I think Jesus told us to call the poor as a church. And I cannot think of anything that fulfills James 1:27 more than the bus ministry. God said pure religion is when you do things for people that are hurting, that have no way of paying you back. They can't visit you like you visit them. James chapter 5, verse 13. Can you take your Bible and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is any among you afflicted in a continued day after day prolonged suffering?" God says, "Let him pray. Let him pray." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, I wanted to focus on this just a little bit this morning. God says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, first of all, the person who is calling affliction light is the Apostle Paul. And anytime I have burdens and heartaches, I think of this verse. God says, whatever you're going through, it's interesting. He says it's light. Think of it as light. And I know what people are thinking. First of all, Paul was not someone who knew very little about what affliction was. He definitely knew something about sickness and pain. You realize he was physically afflicted every day. After he saw the light and he was struck from the horse, his eyes were never the same. I don't know if it was the light, I don't know if it was from his salvation day, I don't know what it was, but he said he struggled for the rest of his life physically. He said when he wrote, they didn't have glasses back then. He said when he wrote, he had to write with big letters. He struggled all the time. The Apostle Paul did not live a life of ease and had everything that his heart could wish. He had suffered the loss of all things in Philippians chapter 2. The same man that God used to pen these words, our light affliction, gives us a glimpse of his pain. You're in 2 Corinthians 4 there? Can you turn over to chapter 11? Look at his description of his life and look at these burdens and afflictions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. In labors, I know I'm starting more down in the verse there, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, that means whipping, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, they had stoned him and he had died and God brought him back to life. He said, I've died once. I've never died. Okay? Look at verse number 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 times 5. I'm sure when the Apostle Paul took his robe off, his back probably looked, it was deeply scarred. It probably had stripes and calluses going every way. Yeah, I don't know what his back looked like. But he said, 5 times they took me, strapped me to a pole, and whipped me 39 times. They did that to me 5 times. Watch this. He says, verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. What's that mean? They would tie a person down, hands above their head, flat. They would put 2 people on either side and they had wooden rods. And then they would just start beating the person just like this. 4 people doing that. They said sometimes the pain would drive men insane. It would break bones. Couldn't break the femur. Couldn't break the hip, obviously. Could break ribs. Could break, he said, look at him. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. He said, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I've been in the deep. That means he was floating, attached to a piece of the ship that went down. He said, I've been floating in the ocean, wondering if anybody's going to pick us up for a day, a whole day and a night. Look at the next verse. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. I think the last part here is amazing. In perils among false brethren, people that called themselves Christians that cut me.
Look at verse number 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings, that staying awake often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now that's Paul's list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 of his sufferings, and he said, here's what I've been through in my life. And this morning, as I look at this, and then I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I realize the person who's saying our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding glory. This man, I don't know anybody in here. As a matter of fact, if I took all of our problems and our deepest hurts in this room, I'm not sure it would amount to a list like this for one person to go through. Now that we have the background of who God is using to talk about this, all of the pain that Paul suffered didn't harden him, because as you read the epistles of God that God used him to pen, God shows us his tender spirit and his fervent love for the Lord and his love for people. The person God used to pen these words wasn't lighthearted and careless about the life either. He wasn't the opposite. God's work and the cause of Christ was the biggest thing to the Apostle Paul. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 28. He said, beside all these that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches that he started. No, Paul never got calloused about life. The cause of Christ was huge to him, and nothing stopped him as our example. Now as we start looking at our text back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, our light affliction. When God used Paul to write the words, light affliction, he was in the midst of heavy affliction himself. But while he was feeling the weight of the affliction, his faith was so strong and active that God could use him to pen the words, our light affliction. As a veteran who had affliction written across his life in capital letters, as he endured his special afflictions because he was an apostle and had the burden of getting the gospel to the world and would stand before the cruel Emperor Nero, Paul isn't speaking as a novice. Many of Paul's afflictions were endured by Paul because he was being used to spread the gospel and to get people saved. Now listen closely. The same thing is true for you and me. When you try to serve the Lord, the devil tries to stop you. Listen closely. The devil doesn't try to stop everybody. I'm amazed at what the devil gets blamed for. The devil tries to stop you when you serve the Lord, and the devil doesn't try to stop everybody because everybody isn't serving the Lord. Some people, their worst enemy, for most people, their worst enemy is them. The devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do nothing. Amen. You made you do it. You are your issue. It ain't the devil. And the devil doesn't fight everybody. When you make soul winning a priority, when you make bringing people to Christ so they can be saved, you start gaining hell's attention. Acts chapter 19, I'll let you look up that later, but when those Jews of Sceva tried to cast out demons, they walked up and they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then it says that same, here's some guys saying, well, we've seen Jesus cast out demons, so here's this possessed guy, he's got a devil in him. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And that demon spoke and said, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but we don't know you. And that one man took and beat the fire out of all seven of them, stripped them naked, and sent them running. I mean, beat the tar out of them. You know when you gain hell's attention is when you try serving the Lord. When you pray your prayers get hell's attention. When you pray against evil. When you pray, dear God, that's a bar. And God, the homes that are destroyed by that, dear God, destroy that work. And Lord, I pray that you confound it when you push against evil in your prayer. And very few people do that. Most people, their prayers go something like this, and I understand because everybody's got to start somewhere. Lord, please help me today, and Lord, please protect me today. But they never get beyond themselves. They don't pray for the needs of others. And I understand that. And I'm not. They said the average time a Christian prays, the average time is right around a little under 2 minutes a day. That's because if you add up all the meals and you add up a few, explosions in the day, oh my goodness, dear Lord, help me, you know. And I'm glad you want God's help, but most Christians don't pray beyond themselves. They never pray against evil. When you start pushing against Satan, when you start saying, dear God, destroy the work. Lord, please save their soul. Lord, convict them. Dear God, cut through the drugs. And dear God, cut through the alcohol. And dear God, work in their life. And Lord, break them. And Lord, please help them. Very few Christians pray that way. But when you do, hell goes, they're pushing. We fight spiritual battles. We don't fight physical battles. And so when you pray, and when you go soul winning, when you attack hell, when you're giving the gospel and you're trying to save sinners, you get hell's attention. Everybody doesn't have hell's attention. The devil, I'll say it again, the devil doesn't fight everybody. You have a lying, murderous adversary that is trying to destroy you. And this morning, I wanted you to know you get the devil's attention when you pray and when you go soul winning. When you truly love the souls of sinners, then you bear any affliction you can to bring them to Christ. When you truly love the souls of sinners, you can endure any affliction from them. Because you remember in your sinful condition, your Savior suffered for you. What we have to go through to win souls from the unquenchable furnace are necessary and is as nothing because what we're doing is eternal. Look, you know how come most Christians aren't soul winners? It takes a purposed sacrifice. Well, I'll win them if I get a chance. Look, You can't be a casual soldier for the Lord. You can't do that. It takes purposefulness. It takes, I'm going to live for God no matter what. And then guess what happens? You're going to get a phone call. You're going to get a reason why you shouldn't. And look, especially, have you ever noticed what happens when people start coming to church for the first time? Saturday night, they're always tempted to stay up late, right? So that they can't get up, or they have plenty of reasons. I think the devil tries to keep people out of church. This morning, I wanted you to see our light affliction is but for a moment. As a child of God, I believe you should determine, I'm going to glorify the Lord. How do you do that? Jesus said in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You see, while you're living to please the Lord and glorify Him, you must keep in mind what Jesus did for you. This is important. Think about this. Jesus left heaven. He took on our nature. Then when He was without sin, He took our sinfulness. He suffered in our place. He died and rose again 3 days later. And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, you're cleansed by His blood. Because you're joint heirs with Jesus, you can love Him who made you what you are. Our relationship with our great Savior is the fuel for our service. You say, why would you say that? Because you know why people quit? Because it gets hard. How do you make it through the afflictions and the hard times of the Christian life? Well, I thought when I got saved, all my problems would be... Normally, after you get saved, you gained an enemy. Normally, your problems multiply after salvation. They don't get easier. So how do you keep on going then as a Christian? How do you make it? And if I went around the room of Christians that have been in church for over 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, how do you make it to a Brother Wilkinson? How do you make it to a Brother Dorsey? If you ask them, how do you make it to a Brother Gaskin? Ask them, has it been easy the whole time? Well, I'll bet since you've been in church, it's just been, the more you get in church, the easier your life gets. And they'll tell you, it gets hard. Ask the older people in the church, how'd you make it to this point where you can look at the young people and say, I've been going to church for 40 years. I've served God for 40 years. How'd they make it without quitting when it got tough and when the pain got so bad they couldn't hear anything else? In their light affliction, you know what helped them through it? Their love for the Lord. That's how you keep on going. And if you lose your relationship with the one who saved you, if you lose your reason for the one, you lose your reason for it all, then yeah, then it just becomes ritual and here we are again and another song and another, and there's no person involved in it. Our love for the Lord is what keeps us going through the hard times. How come somebody quit? How come they used to go to church but they don't anymore? They lost their relationship with the Lord. They lost it. Your love for Jesus is what makes the trials and the afflictions of this world seem light. Seem light. Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How did the martyrs face their deaths with anticipation? How did they live in cold, damp dungeons and caves and so many times were dragged to the stake to be burned, were dragged to the chopping block to have their heads cut off, or dragged to the scaffolds to be hung? Back then you placed your faith in the blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and you followed Him in believer's baptism because you were saved. And from the time you were baptized, because you got rebaptized, you were hunted like an animal. They hunted you. Have you ever thought, what are we going to say? Look, I got, praise God, I got up this morning early. I got to make biscuits and gravy, and I even got to eat some of them. Because I always eat biscuits and gravy after I make it. You say, why? Because I made it, that's why. I got up early this morning, but I didn't suffer to come to church. Have you ever thought how we're going to make it up in heaven when you meet the people who had their heads cut off for the Lord? What am I going to say? When they walk up, look, if the scars in the Jesus' hands were there, I think they'll have scars that I think they'll gladly bear. I think they'll come up to us and go, I got my head cut off. What'd you do for the Lord? Got off late one time. Got a speeding ticket on the way to church. Aren't you going to feel like a goofball? What'd you do for God? What'd you go through? We're going to meet them someday. We're going to see them. The ones that were burned alive. You ever go forward in your mind to that? And then I think what I've been through, and I've been cut pretty deep. I've wept until I didn't have tears left. But I've never bled for Christ. Do you understand? No one's ever cut me. No one has ever hurt my family. Do you understand? Not like what they go through over in the Middle East. I really did this morning, coming to church, I started thinking about it. I really do have it pretty easy. I mean, my car started right up. I really feel blessed. I hope this morning, in looking at it, I'm not saying that what we're going through doesn't hurt. I'm saying your love for Jesus is what makes your trial seem light when you're going through it. How do you make it without quitting? How did they do it? They lived for eternity. How come we don't do it? Because we live for this world instead of the world to come. When our light affliction seems heavy, are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Can we watch this? Look at here. Here's another thing. So first of all, our love for the Lord is what keeps us from quitting. You know, that's one reason I'm so glad I love watching the teenagers have a good time, and I love watching them. I love watching them soul win. I love watching them grow in the Lord spiritually. But you know, one purpose of a youth group is we're trying to teach them things so that when life gets tough, they don't quit. I hope all of them have happy marriages, and I hope all of them never have to experience the pain of a miscarriage or a financial reversal or a job loss or a death of a child. But this world is a veil of tears. And that's not reality, although I hope it happens to none of them. But we're trying to give them the spiritual goods so that they can draw from them later and keep on serving the Lord. Keep on serving. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You can't take the trials and the pressures and the burdens and the afflictions of this life without a time every day with the Lord when you allow your inward man to be renewed. Everybody in here has to have a time where even though I'm hurting on the outside, my inward man is renewed as I take in the Word of God. Christian, this morning, could I just encourage you as your pastor, do you have a time where your inward man is renewed? If you don't, if the going gets tough, and when it catches you off guard, if you aren't careful, you're going to quit. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to say, look, if Jesus tarries in your old age, I want you to be able to say, I have served the Lord these many years. God, I love hearing the older people in our church talk. God has been faithful. God has been merciful. I pull this from this verse here. Our outward man is perishing, and the flesh is weak. So there has to be a time when you allow the inward man, the saved part of you, to be renewed. Your walk with God is your shock absorber for the bumps and the pitfalls of life. And the closer you walk with God, the less you feel of those bumps. I know some Christians, they have no shock absorber. I mean, every time something happens in their life, they're obliterated. There is no walk with God. There is no love for the Lord. They're here for the group. You understand? Oh, I'm here for so-and-so. And I'm here for so-and-so. And the Lord has nothing to do with it. I can't talk anybody in here into you loving the Lord. I can tell you should. I can tell you what He's done for you. I can tell you how you can grow if you'll love Him back. But I can't talk you into anything. I can't talk you into being spiritual. And yet I want that for you because I know that relationship is so important. As you walk with God, it's easier to see His goodness in your life. There are some people who've been sick for a long time. But yet you and I, we get the flu for 24 or 48 hours. There are some people who've battled cancer for years. There are some people who've been in jail over a mistrial for years. There are Christians in other countries who've been persecuted for years. And except for God's grace, it could be you or I suffering in their place. This morning, as we look at our light affliction, when our affliction doesn't seem light, then what can we do? Can I have you go to Psalm 103? Go to Psalm 103. Just a few more verses here. Psalm 103. So when my trials... I feel like I'm so thankful for my family and my kids and my wife. But I'm not exempt from someday, you know, I'm not untouchable. I could lose my wife in a car wreck. That'd kill me. I go through that in my mind. Do you know why? Because I don't want to quit when it happens. If it happens. Amen? I hope it doesn't happen. But I've known other pastors that have lost their wife. I've watched other people suffer. I've watched other family lose children in car wrecks. I'm not exempt from that. I've gone through that in my mind. What would happen if, you know, we got two off at college, we'll have another third, amen. I pray for their safety. Lord, please help them. Sam's going into the Marines. We'll get Jeremiah off next year. They'll all be in different directions. I'm not untouchable from a phone call. This is the police department and such. We need you to come and identify the body. Are you the father of so-and-so? Yes. We need you to come and identify the body. I'm not untouchable. I've gone through that. I know what happens. And I thank the Lord every day. But Christian, if the going gets tough and if it gets so hard, I plan on not quitting. Amen? Amen? Can you go through that? Look, I'm not in a state of depression right now telling you. I'm just trying to tell you if the hardest thing that could fathom in my mind happened, I don't want it to pull me from the Lord. I know it'll hurt, but God calls it light. It's a light affliction, and it just lasts for a short period. Hang on, Christian. Don't let go. Look at Psalm 103. You say, how can our affliction help to appear light? Watch this. Look at verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I wish you'd just take that verse and just think about it. He has not paid you back for all the wrong you've done. He has not dealt with us after our sins. God has been very good. God has not smacked you every time you blew it. That in itself is enough to praise God. And if, because God hasn't hit me every time I've done wrong, you know what? If I do end up suffering and hurting, I can still say God's been good. He has not dealt with me after my sins. Amen. That's what helps when I go through it. What can help it seem light? The light affliction. Because God has not dealt with me after my sins. I am doing this morning, praise God, much better than I deserve. I need to remember that I personally deserve hell. If I got what I deserve, I'd burn forever. But praise God for the precious blood of Jesus and His salvation. Praise God for His mercy that endures forever. It's all through the Bible. Praise God that He had mercy on you and saved you by His grace. The goodness of God in your life should lead you to repentance. The Lord allowed you to live until you could one day hear the gospel and get saved. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's the goodness of God that you haven't died and went to hell and that you're here. God's allowed you an opportunity to hear the wonderful truth that He died in your place and your sins can be forgiven you if you'll just place your faith in Him. What makes it seem light? Can we now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. What makes the affliction that we're going through seem light? When it's so heavy and it's so hurtful and it's so painful, what are Bible truths that help me with my thinking? Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Ready? Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3, for consider him. The word consider means think about. Think about him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Watch this, verse 3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you want to keep away from a quitting attitude towards the trials and when the pain comes and when the burdens come and when the trials come and when the sufferings come and when it's the same prolonged day after day hurting, can I just ask you, this morning I'm reminded by the Word of God, when we have to drink a bitter cup, we need to think of the bitterness of the cup that Jesus drank. Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then a few hours later, in John 18, Jesus told Peter, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What was he talking about? I'm getting ready to have the sins of the whole world placed on me. And I think Jesus said, the pain that it's going to cost me. He said, he was God. He knew what was coming. And yet, Jesus suffered. We have this morning no richer consolation than to think about the sufferings of what Jesus went through for us. God says, to keep you from quitting and fainting in your mind, think about what Jesus did for you. Jesus plainly told the disciples, look, if they took me and they whipped me and they persecuted me, he said, do you really think they're going to treat you any better? He said, they killed me. He said, you won't be better than me, but you could be as me. I think sometimes we expect too much. We expect, well, now that I'm saved, it's just going to be easy. And that's not true. His stripes are promised to bring healing to our wounds. Whatever I'm going through, it's not worth a moment's thought compared to the incredible agonies of Jesus, my Redeemer. In his sorrow, he bore my misery and my grief. That's why he's the man of sorrows. When our affliction seems heavy, it is light compared to what our dear Lord and Master went through. And then this morning, finally, can we just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Our affliction is light if we allow God to give us His grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse number 7. There is so much I have written in my Bible in 2 Corinthians, why we do what we do. Because the key word in 2 Corinthians is ministry, serving. I think there's so much in 2 Corinthians here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You could learn so much from this passage. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In other words, he's saying, I have a physical affliction that God allowed Satan to give me. I've been afflicted of Satan. That's what it says, right? I've been afflicted of the devil. Just like Job was smitten with boils, head to toe, right? Satan was able to take his health. He said, I have been afflicted of Satan for one reason, so that I'm not exalted above measure. And I asked God, he said, I asked God thrice, three times, dear God, please take this suffering from me. And then look what he says. He says in verse 9, and he said unto me, he, the Lord, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How can what we're going through and the pain and the loss and the hurt seem light? If I'll accept God's grace. Grace is only given to humble Christians. It's not given to... Doesn't God say that in James 4? God giveth grace to the humble but resists the proud, James chapter 4. So when a Christian goes through pain, when the tragedy hits, when the bad news hits, and then they go, "Ugh! Why are you doing this to me? I go to church. I do this." And they're always pointing against God. That's pride. That's pride. And you get no grace. You don't get grace. Grace comes to the humble. Grace, God says, I can give you grace if you'll humble down. You know how I handle hard times? Humility says, "God, I don't know why this is happening. I wouldn't have chosen this. I don't know why. I can't see right now. But God, I trust you that you know what's going on." And God says, "I'll give you my grace if you'll humble yourself." Every Christian doesn't get grace. Grace is available to every Christian. But I've watched Christians get bitter and nasty to God. "Take my kid from me. That was my kid. Take my house from me. We lost everything. And I found out who did it. It was you." It's out and out. You say, "Well, they couldn't be saved and do that." I've watched bitter Christians talk that way against God. When the tragedy hits and the pain hits, Christian, God says, "I can give you grace that will help you through all of it if you'll just humble down. Trust me. I know what's best. Even when you don't know why, just trust me that I do." Our light affliction, which is just for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory if we don't quit, if we handle it right. This morning, the title of the sermon is called Our Light Affliction. Whatever you're going through this morning, whatever pain you're hurting, whatever you're dealing with mentally, burden-wise, you can get help from the Lord. You don't have to quit. You can keep on going. And I'll always encourage you, trust the Lord. You've got to have a time. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that you could use this morning. Strengthen each person here. And Lord, I thank you. You've been so good to me.